40 Days with Jesus journey. I'm grateful to Dave Smith, the pastor at Kingsgate Community Church, for his thoughts on this series and for guiding us in our thinking during this time. Our passage for this week is John chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. This encounter of Jesus with these two followers of his who were walking away from Jerusalem. It's a strange thing to be walking away at a time when something amazing was happening, but of course these two were downhearted, disappointed, frustrated, whatever emotion you want to think, and they'd lost sight really of what Jesus had said that would happen. And on that same day, we read in verse 13, two of them were going 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, clearly, there was still lots to talk about, because I'm sure during this 7-mile journey, they were talking a lot about, as the text says, everything that had happened. And a lot had happened. You can't imagine, can you, being there for the first time and seeing Jesus dying on the cross and then hearing these early reports that the tomb was empty and that some of the followers had actually seen him. And yet they're walking away. It seems a bit of a strange reaction to what could be the beginning of a brand new story. But of course, what happens next is what's important, is that Jesus came and walked along with them. Now, of course, they didn't realise it was Jesus at the time, but the thought that Jesus was walking away from Jerusalem with them is such a powerful thought for us today. Jesus had spent his whole ministry walking towards Jerusalem to that climactic point that he knew he was going to face. Jerusalem was the centre of faith, of religion. It was the talked about place in the Old Testament story. It was the place of God's presence and God's purposes for the people of Israel being worked through. And yet Jesus, having spent all that time walking towards Jerusalem, walks away from it. But of course, he walks away from it with people who he would love to encounter him. They were kept from recognizing him. We're not sure why that is, but perhaps this was part of the discovery and part of the hope that we can have, that even though we're walking away, Jesus notices us and he comes and walks alongside us. It's an amazing thought that he would notice each one of us and that he would come and walk with us. Of course, that's happened for many people over many years, and when their eyes have been opened to the reality of Jesus being there with them. Charles Spurgeon, when he was 15 years old, on January the 6th, 1850, was trudging up Hythe Hill in Colchester on his way to church when a terrific blizzard prevented him from going any further. And so instead of turning home, he turned the corner and made his way into a small primitive Methodist church on Artillery Street in that town. It was a dark time for him. He was in despair because he couldn't get to where he was going on that Sunday morning. But in that chapel, with maybe between 12 or 15 people, God made himself known. Jesus walked with him into that place. Even the preacher couldn't make it that day. And so instead of the preacher who should have been there, a shoemaker, a tailor or something of that sort, Spurgeon says, went up into the pulpit to preach. And he took as his text Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Spurgeon recounts as to how he didn't even pronounce the words rightly, but that didn't matter. Spurgeon began to see that there was a glimpse of hope in that particular text. In fact, during that sermon, the preacher looked directly at Spurgeon and confronted him with this truth. He said to the young man, "You look very miserable." Well, Spurgeon says that he did. He'd not been accustomed to have remarks made on his personal appearance from the pulpit before, but this time it struck home to him. And the preacher continued, "And you will always be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death, if you do not obey the text. But if you obey it now, this moment, you will be saved." And then Spurgeon says that the man shouted as only a primitive Methodist could. Young man, look to Jesus Christ. And there and then, in that moment, Spurgeon's eyes were opened, the darkness rolled away, and in that moment he saw the sun, because he looked to Jesus. See, Jesus noticed Spurgeon walking into that church that day, and he notices you, and he longs for you to have your eyes opened to see Jesus. So I wonder if this week will be a time when you begin to see Jesus, perhaps in a new light, perhaps afresh this week. How clear is your vision of the risen Jesus? Is there any reason why your vision is blurred at this time? Sometimes we fail to see what is right in front of us. And maybe today it's time to do what Spurgeon did, to look to Jesus and live. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you that you walk with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you will reveal yourself to us. And I pray for each of us today and this week that we will see you clearly and follow you every day. Amen.